We talked about some simple principles on marriage and how to use and tie your marriage together with Christ. And I got some comments about it being both helpful and convicting last week. I know it can be hard to selflessly love someone else and to put their needs above our own. But as Christians, we're called to do just that. And not just with our wives, but with everyone. And that can be so hard sometimes. Selfless love. What if we don't like them? You know what? It doesn't matter. We're called to do just that. And there's times where people can do things that upset us, and we still are called to love them. The thing that's amazing about the Bible to me, guys, is there's not exemption clauses in there. Like, well, I would love them, but. It doesn't say that. It says we're to love them, and we're to love them always. This week, Paul does a little bit of a detour before he goes back further into dealing with unmarried and the widowed. This week's message is going to hit a lot of you a little hard, and hopefully it's going to be helpful to a lot of you. We Christian people tend we tend to go from one bondage to another. But that's not what Christ has called us for. And someone will make a profession of faith in Christ, and they'll struggle to be a good Christian. And I'm hoping to help you guys with this today, because today's message is titled, "You're Called from Your Past to Freedom." If you are a Christian, do you realize God called you knowing what you were and what you've done? Most of us know that, but have a really hard time accepting the grace. We just struggle with that as people. So let's open up our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We are going to begin in verse 17. This is another section of Scripture where we're really going to see Paul dig into deeper meanings than just the circumcision, which is what he mentions here. We're going to see three parts here, and we're going to make more sense of it, but you're going to see you're called from your past and to your freedom. So those are actually today's three points. So let's stand up, and we are going to read verses 17 through 24. Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision, for neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commands of God. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a bondservant when he called? Do not be concerned about it, but if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself the opportunity. For he who was called in the Lord as a bondservant is a freedman of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when called is a bondservant of Christ. You were bought at a price. Do not become bondservants of men. So, brothers, in whatever condition each was called, let him remain with God. Amen. You may be seated. This thing is like bothering me. My peripheral vision. I'm going to feel like I'm keep looking down. I think I'm going to stab myself with it. What does Paul mean in verse 17? Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has called or has assigned to him and to which God has called him. All the Calvinists are going, yes, God's sovereignty explained again. All the Arminians are saying, but we have free will. Well, it's really not about that, and it's actually both in this case. It's it can be confusing to you, but this is not a discussion about salvation. Paul's talking about your everyday walk as a Christian here. We can argue this later if somebody wants to, but I firmly believe that God calls you to Himself. I can show you that throughout Scripture. I also believe that we're not puppets, and God's not up in heaven pulling strings and going like this, and you're just a marionette doing all this. It's a complicated topic. It really is. It's not one I really want to go into depth about today, but let's figure out what Paul's talking about here. If you remember the story of Jonah, let's talk about Jonah for a second. God assigned Jonah to go to Nineveh, if you remember that story at all. What was his mission? His mission was to go to Nineveh to give them a message that they were messing a lot of stuff up. So God's sovereign, He can do that. Jonah decided that he was going to run away. Got on a boat, goes, I'm hightailing, I'm going the other way, God. And he was going as far as he could. So he has free will to disobey or to obey God. And he chose to disobey God. And God let him have his way for a while. And here's where it goes way above my pay grade. And I'm fully willing to admit that. And if anybody wants to have this argument with me, we can do it until the point where we both pass out giving up because we're not going to be right. Neither one of us. So we can do that. It's fine. Sometimes God, it says in Romans, God will give you up to your passions. He will let you do the things that you want to do. The reality is that never ends well. It didn't end well for Jonah. It doesn't end well for us. And how many of you have had parents who will say that to you? Just go, yeah, no, go ahead. Go do that. I'll be right here. I'm going to watch. I'm going to laugh. I'm going to watch. I'm going to laugh. Because you are going to fall right on your face. But go ahead. Go do it. Especially as teenagers, you know, because as teenagers, we know everything, right? And mom and dad, they're old. They don't know anything. They don't know. How many of you guys heard this as parents? They don't know how the real world works these days. You guys heard that as parents? Having seven kids, I've heard that a lot. And I do not helicopter parent my children. You want to go jump off the cliff with your friends? It's better that I'm alive and here and I can come scrape you off the bottom. Have fun. It's going to hurt. Really bad. It's better to do it while I have medical insurance. Because when you go and do it when you're like, you know, 19... and you don't, in the message and the lesson are learned a lot differently during that time frame. We know God doesn't save everyone. We don't know why. We don't know why God will just go ahead, go do what you're going to do. Sometimes He doesn't pull them back. Sometimes He slaps them upside the head and says, what are you doing? And again, it's above my pay grade. We do know that Jonah, as far as he could, he went away from God's calling. And he learned when God calls you to something, it's easier if you just go do it. He learned that by living inside of a fish for 3 days. God, that had to be nasty. And then getting like spit up on shore. You know what? That's not for me. My story really wasn't much different, though. Kids, your parents tell you what they tell you because, you know what? Hey, kids, eyes up here. Let me tell you a secret. This is the truth. Your parents were dumb enough to jump off the cliff before. They did it. They've been there. They've seen it. So they're telling you, hey, you know what? It really hurts. Don't do this. And you know what, kids? You know what you're going to do anyway? You're going to go jump off the cliff. Jaden and I were just talking about this morning. Why? Because I can tell him it hurts like crazy, and you know what? Jaden has to experience it. I have to feel the pain. I've got to go through that myself. Why? Because we're stupid. Because we do that. But it's the experience we have to go through to realize, wow, I don't really ever want to do that again. The reality is, it's a lot less painful for us to obey than it is to disobey. Jonah learned, your parents learned, are you guys going to learn that? A lot of times they choose to ignore God and they're all over the place. And let me tell you my story real quick just to kind of help some of you that struggle with this issue. I knew when I was 13 years old. That's kind of funny looking. I knew when I was 13 years old that God was calling me to pastor a church. Not a church like this one. It was supposed to be one like Joel Osteen's, you know, like the big kind with all the people and all the stuff. Actually, I had no idea what he meant. I had no idea. That was my church, guys, that one right there. I had no idea really what God meant. I just knew that he called me to that. For 30 years, I was on a boat running from that calling. Not a literal boat, but I was floating around without a purpose, without an idea of what I was supposed to be doing. And I did ministry work just to kind of, in my mind, I was pacifying God, like, well, I'm working with kids, you know, it's all for the children. It's all for the children. I was doing stuff. I was assistant pastoring at another church, but I knew God had called me for this when I was 13. And here's the thing. God let me do what I was doing because I was not ready for this. I wasn't even ready for this church. And he just kept putting people in my life that would help me and guide me and get me to where it was now. Even this church, when somebody said, you should start that church, I'm not starting that church in Wilcox, Arizona. Are you out of your mind? I need one in Texas. No, I didn't say that. But I just wasn't really, it wasn't, I was still running. I was still on the boat. I was still out on the water going, that's not what God called me for. And finally it took somebody, another guy at another church that just kind of like slapped me upside the head and was like, yeah, it is. Go do it. What are you waiting on? And you guys may have heard his voice in some way, and you may be running. You may be going, yeah, you know, I heard this one time, but I didn't really think that was for me. And the reality is, if you guys just stay in prayer and you talk to your friends and you listen to God instead of yourself saying, no, that's not what he means, that's not what that is, You all have a calling. Every single one of you has some type of a calling. Don't run from it. Because yours is going to be different from mine. It's going to be different from the person next to you. But God definitely calls every single one of us to something. You're called from your past. And you're called to Christ and to the work that Christ has for you. What Paul's talking about here is there were some people whose issues, they were having people, or having issues identifying people basically just based on their circumcision. You remember, for the most part, we're talking about Greeks and Romans here who were recent converts to Judaism, or to Christianity. There were Jews that were coming in and telling them, well, if you really want to live for Jesus, then you still have to be circumcised. You still have to follow the law. We went through a lot of this stuff in the book of Acts. Paul's still kind of dealing with that in the church in Corinth because the Jewish people are still there telling them that these things have to be done. So I'm going to... I'm going to hammer this today a little bit in today's vernacular, okay? A piece of skin being there or not being there is absolutely irrelevant to your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's absolutely pointless. Religious people for centuries have tried to control people with lies and man-made doctrine. Rules they make up to make people feel spiritual or that they're serving God in a way that pleases Him. It's basically Pharisees in suits today instead of robes. And I want to look at what Jesus said to the Pharisees in Matthew 15, 2 through 9. He says, the elders are, the Pharisees are talking to Jesus here, and they said, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat. Jesus answered them, and why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father and his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but with their heart is far from me? In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Over 2,000 years ago, we see the exact same issue with the religious rulers. They even said it. Why do you break the tradition of the elders? It wasn't God's rule. It was man's rule. And Jesus' answer to them is perfect. And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your own tradition? This is very hard for me to say as a pastor, but I totally see why a lot of the world stays away from churches. I do. Because quite frankly, a lot of churches are a mess. You look at all these denominations, there's over 200 different denominations in the U.S., and they all have their little rules that make them different from the other ones. And I'm not saying that this stuff is bad per se, but the church adding to Scripture by making rules that aren't in there is very much the exact same as the rabbis adding fence laws to what was the law that Moses was handed down by God. The problem that we run into is that when men make up laws, there's no standing of truth behind it. It's not written by God, so it's man makes, and men can interpret their man-made laws however they feel like it. And I know some of you have been in churches where it's okay for this person to do something, but if this person does it, that's completely not okay, because men look at things differently. When you have God's law, you just go, no, God's word says this, God's word says that. There's no dispute over what God's word says. And it tends to lead to issues that are always man-based. You know what? Here's the reality of it. Tradition does not mean theologically correct. Okay? So it's actually very simple when you look at it this way, because does your tradition line up with Scripture in context? I always have to add those two words, because there's a lot of times where people will throw out things that they're like, well, God's word says this. Well, is that what that means in context? Looking at a few examples, I'm going to speak kind of in generalities here. And yes, there are differences among different churches. But traditionally, you look at like Baptists. Baptists are really kind of anti-alcohol at all. They're also older systems of Baptists tend to frown away from dancing in crowds and gestures of that sort. It's just one of those things that's been typical with Baptists. Catholics have so many, it would take a month to go through, but like just a few of them, like praying the rosary, or even confession, or just a couple that they go through. Their liturgical color scheme based on the day is always very interesting to me. Never made sense. The Methodist Church had a statement on their website that I could not disagree with more. And it said, "Tradition acts as a measure of validity and propriety for a community's faith insofar as it represents a consensus of faith." If your tradition's wrong, it doesn't. If there are some churches that sing like hymns because only hymns are spiritual. There's some of the Catholic churches, and some are pushing for it to go back to this way, that they should only teach in Latin. How many in here can speak Latin? What good would that do? If you're there speaking a language that somebody can't understand, it's literally the exact same thing as speaking in tongues. If you don't have an interpreter there, you are wasting everybody's time. Lastly, my favorite of all, the King James only people. They will literally fight you to the death over that being the only authorized version of the Bible that should ever be spoken out of or taught out of forever and ever, amen. The point is do any of these, now Ben will tell you it's NASB, and I will fight him to the death over the ESV, so we'll meet in the parking lot, sir. The thing is, do any of these line up with Scripture? And the answer is no. Not any of those that I mentioned are. But churches will split over those things. They will tear apart families over those things. And the reality is, I don't care. I do not care if you personally believe that the King James Version is the only version of the Bible that should ever be spoken out of or taught out of or whatever it is. I don't care. When you tell somebody else that they have to believe that, that's when I have an issue with it. So, the point is, churches have been making these things just like the Pharisees have forever. And I don't want you to miss what Paul says here, because you were called out of what you were to be the person God wants you to be, not the person that your church wants you to be. You've heard me say this, but your walk is your walk. I can't walk it for you. The church can't walk it for you. It's your personal relationship with Jesus Christ is what we're talking about here. God uses you the way that He does because, quite frankly, your life is way different than mine. Your experiences and your experience are different than mine. And God uses those both to help teach you and to help teach others. Too many times, churches try to fit or better create little Christians in the mold of their pastor guy. I can tell you right now, I've seen this happen and it's disgusting to me, where after a church has been together for a while, all the people in the church start kind of dressing the same. And they all start looking the same. They change the uniqueness of what it is that makes the body parts part of the body. We become all hands, or we become all feet. And you know what? When that happens, the body is not the body. It becomes this deformed figure that you can't even recognize anymore. Again, I've talked about this before. When you're in the middle of it, it's hard to see. But it truly is deformed when you step back and you look at it. That picture of the thing that Joel Osteen's got, that's not normal. That's not a normal body. So you just think about someone. Think about this. This may hit some of you. Think about someone who came to the church as a new believer. That person was like all tatted up and they had a mohawk. They had this big funky thing that went like this. Within a few months of getting the social pressure that happens within the church, guy looks like a Harvard grad. He's got this pretty hairdo that's kind of like mine. And he's got that perfect gentleman's haircut. He wears sleeves, you know, long sleeve shirts to cover up his tattoos. Well, he's now, well, you. He's perfect, right? We've made Christianity all about how we look and how we act. The outside of our cups are so clean. Does his hair or his clothes make him any more of a Christian? It's the same thing as circumcision. It's the exact same thing. We're looking at things that are completely irrelevant to what makes your relationship with Jesus Christ. The question is that what God wants us focusing on? Verse 19 says, "For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called." It's not about the outward. It's not the things of the flesh. The best witnesses that I have ever seen in my life for Jesus Christ are the ones who have been to hell and back. Because they don't care about what you think about them. They've already seen the gutter and they've already been there. So when you look at them, they don't care what you're looking at. They've already experienced it. Nothing you can do to them is going to affect them. They know exactly where you don't want to be. And the most important part of the teaching. Listen up. It wasn't you changing their haircut or covering their tattoos or changing their clothes that saved them. It was Jesus Christ. And I know there are churches out there that believe that they can save people. All they have to do is become spiritual like them. You know, look the part. God always saves the beautiful, right? They look good. You know, look at 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. He says, he's talking about King Saul here. He says, you know, that do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I've rejected him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, but looks, that man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Are we obedient to God? Are we faithful? Do we love each other? And not with that, like, hey, brother, I love you, kind of in the hallway kind of love, but I'm here for you no matter what kind of love? Or is it easier to just shun them because they don't look like us? You know, last week I was talking about some of the churches that if a homeless person comes in, they just say, well, you need to go to that church. They don't want to deal with them. All those rules so that we can look the way our church wants to. You can't show me that in Scripture. It's not in there. Again, there's not exception clauses to the love that we're supposed to show. And last point, promise I won't go long here for a pastor. You were bought at a price. Do not become bondservants of men. So brothers, in whatever condition each one was called, let him remain with God. Christ bought you freedom from the law. Christ bought you freedom from religion so that he could have a personal relationship with you. Don't go back into bondage of man-made rules and doctrinal positions that don't align with Scripture. To be clear, and I do want to say this, there's things like modesty, self-control, speech, order, things like that that should be adhered to in a church, mostly because it promotes a certain amount of order and sanctity of the house of God. I get that. I understand that. What we don't do is strip what makes somebody unique because they look differently and act differently than you and I do. That's not God's calling. We are not called as a church to go, all right, let's make everyone look like us. They're different, or they're unique, will be used by God differently than you're different or you're unique. And can we be honest here? Y'all got issues, all of you. I'm not saying I don't, because I do too. Some of you that know me, I got all kinds of issues too. We all have things that we have to work on. The thing is that when we're a church family, we can work on those things together, and we all learn from each other, and we all help each other, and we're all growing, and we're all going in the same direction together the same way. The arrogance of the church today is that they think that they have all the answers. I'm the pastor. Just come to me. I have all the answers, right? I'm a mess too. We all are. If you do this or you do that, that's how you go to heaven, right? If you don't do this or you don't do that, you're going to hell. That's taught a lot of churches. People buy into that and they just become bondservants to the church's expectations. I want to be a bondservant of God. Not some man. And I want you all to be clear on this. I am the man, and I'm saying that to you. I don't want that for you. That's not what God's called you for. That's not what God did not pull you out of the mess that you were in so that I could put you in my own mess. That's not what God called you for. We were not called to carry the cross of the church. We were called to carry the cross of Christ. And each one of you is going to do that differently. It's just the reality of being different. We're called to be Christ-like, not church-like. If you think back to Scripture, Christ's harshest words were to the Pharisees for this exact thing, because they took a special relationship with the creator of the universe and they made it about religion. They took the uniqueness away and they replaced it with rules. And they looked at the outside of the cup, and you know what? They made people feel dirty when Christ had already cleansed them. Not only cleansed them, but he died to do it. Every single one of you was called to something from something. And you know what? It's a huge honor to be used by God, and it's a special gift that he's given us. You can fight him all the way. You know what the reality is? Where are you running to? Where are you going? Is God's plan not better for you than what your own is? Sometimes we get prideful and we think that, well, God must not be right on this. I literally did that with this church. I was like, nah, not starting that Church, you're out of your mind. And I had to almost be physically slapped upside the head to go, you know, when are you going to learn this? And I did. Go back to Nineveh. Jonah went back and he preached. And you know what? All the people repented. That's like a yay. Not for Jonah. Jonah was literally mad. He wanted God to go in there and squash those people. We need to think bigger, people, really. God's plans are better. There may be people in your life like the Ninevites, and they don't seem like they're worth forgiving or giving grace to. And I'm going to remind you of something. You weren't either. There was a point in your life where, quite frankly, y'all sucked. And your life was not good. And God pulled you out of that for a reason. We can't prejudge people. We can't choose who needs to hear and who doesn't. And that's hard for us because we look at the Mohawk guy with the tats all over and we're like, how can that guy be a Christian? He doesn't fit our mold, right? The weakest among us, the downtrodden, the poor, the hurting, those are the people that we're called to help. We don't run from them, we run towards them. Because that's exactly what Jesus did. You have a very important job. If you're sitting in this room, you have a very important job. If you're at home, you have a very important job. Some of you may not think that you're equipped or you're able or whatever excuse that you come up with. I did it for years. I can come up with all of them. I can tell you all the ones I used if you need extra ones. They're not going to work on me, though. You have a very important job. If you hear the calling that God has for your life and you see a need, jump. Go towards that person. God needs more people running to people instead of people running away. You know what? Use the gifts that God gave you. And I can tell you, every single person in this room has a gift, some type of a gift that God has given you for some reason. Use that gift. What happened right there? Use that gift that God gave you for the good of everyone and use it for His glory. We can run all day long. Hopefully God will pull you right back into it at some point and go, how long are you going to keep doing this on your own? We all do it. Let's run to the people that He's called us to serve because He's given you that ability. Let's stand up. We'll pray. Jaden, this got super loud, and I'm holding it down here because